It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Brrr. We've had a little bit of a cold snap. We're kind of coming out of it a little bit, but I hope that didn't discourage you from getting behind your grill and creating a little grill envy in your neighborhood. But I'm Jop. Hey, Barbecue Bob, you're back, baby.
Yeah, that's right. I got messages from last week's show asking me how my training was going, and I had to chuckle because I didn't. And I guess you and I had a communication problem, but I'm just enjoying the snow and doing a lot of plowing.
Well, yeah, I think everybody that's got, you got a long driveway too.
Yeah.
But everybody that can is moving snow around. Hey, we got Chaz in the studio with us as well. That lack of communication that Bob was referencing is that I didn't realize he was coming back this week, but I'm glad you're here, but Chaz was in the neighborhood, so like he's sitting in, baby.
And
so
I love the cold.
Oh yeah, I know you're a Michigan ice guy. We're gonna talk a little bit about that here in the next.
Yeah,
few
this
minutes.
Is good for you, isn't it?
Oh, I'm loving it.
You going out to Reed's Lake yet?
Not yet. We're gonna talk about the ice conditions around, and it's not what you think.
No, it's not very thick, probably.
Well, down south it is.
Isn't that weird?
That's the weirdest thing.
I know. There's reasons, obviously.
Oh, I can explain them.
All right. So, yeah. I am really digging having a high-efficiency wood-burning fireplace.
Yeah.
And I've had the thing, you know, I sold them for 10 years, but or 20. But they kept getting better and better and better. And this was one of my, what I consider to be a, oh, you know, that heavy-duty company that charges too much, but the thing will never break. It's one of those.
Yeah.
Small manufacturer, but actually
built like a tank.
Really good, yeah. And that thing, I've been pounding on that since, I'm going to say I put that in 2006, 7.
Yeah.
And my goodness, it's
everybody wife, dancing around in their swimsuits
my wife's
at
going,
your house?
Yeah, sort of. My wife's kind of tired of hearing me, but I'll just stand there and look at it and I'll go, just look at that fire. And she's just like, yeah, you don't have to say it every day. It's like, I know, but I can't quit. The flames just lick. There's no smoke. And you know how these new stoves work? They reburn the gases. I find it mesmerizing. I just love, and people love a fire. There's
right.
It's spiritual.
Yeah, it's like my solo stove. It does that same
exactly.
thing.
Yeah.
It draws you in.
Exactly.
This one's much different and better.
It's just
I'm
got
sure,
doors.
But, right.
It's the only
yeah.
difference.
Right.
Those solos are awesome.
Yep. And they are mesmerizing because there is no smoke and the flames just like dance above
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah,
yeah
what
I get
you're
it.
Doing is you're adding oxygen to the unburnt gases, which is smoke as we see it. Those are unburnt gases. And if you get those at the right temperature, and I'm going to say it's 1,200 degrees or something like that. If you get those at the right temperature and add oxygen, it'll reburn it. And that's the secondary burn that people talk about if you buy a fancy wood stove. But the solo can does that same darn thing,
yep.
just with a simple can. As soon as I saw the design years ago, I emailed those people and I said, this thing is on
well,
fire.
A lot of people have them. All
yeah.
puns intended. It's on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then I did a review for them on it. They sent me one. They said, oh, you like it? Yeah. Who are you? Who gives a crap?
Right. Yeah.
But I'm booking a lot of graduations right now and several weddings. So it's looking good on the catering side.
People are planning ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I haven't yet, but
June's about
it's coming.
Toast. June's
yeah.
about toast.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Already. Good for you, man.
Yeah,
yeah that's awesome. That's
so
awesome.
Thankfully, everything's on a Saturday, so I can still work and get them done. But
yeah,
it's going to make for a lot of tough Friday nights.
I was going to say late Friday nights, yeah, to get things going on Saturday for weddings and graduations and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're always available to do that. We don't run out of time generally. I'd have to get really busy for us to say we can't do it, but I get it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's good to,
yeah,
it's good
and
to book
you and
ahead.
I can cover each other that way as well, too. So there, you're right. There's not many times we can't cover something, but I guess I'm trying to warn people to shoehorn them because if your kids graduating and you want the Grilling Guys to come out, You might want to grab a date now.
Yeah, right. Well, and that graduation window is like 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, you know, surprisingly, it's stretched these days.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stretched out to over a month now. Yeah,
there's people doing them in July.
Yeah.
The kid left high school in May.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, if the kid was, you know, an A student, we could do it in April.
Right. Yeah.
Or the year before.
Planning on it, you know. Right. Good student there.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, he's pretty got it locked down, right? You could do it ahead of time.
So I put on here, the prep we told you about is critical. We've been telling you for a couple of years now how to build up your grilling area and maybe put a roof over it to block your wind, all these things. Well, now is when all that blah, blah, blah we do, and we do a lot of that.
Pays a dividend, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I put a picture on Facebook of my grilling shack, and the snow is coming off that corrugated roof.
Right.
It looks like a wave because it was probably warm. Slushy snow, and then it got a bunch of powder on it, and then it's so much weight, you know, that metal's really slick. I have slid off those roofs before. I know how slick it is.
Sliding doesn't hurt. It's a sudden stop.
That's right.
Hopefully this time of year there's a big poof of snow.
Yeah, right,
but
yeah.
If you go to the Grilling Guys, you might see it in our feed. Anyway, it's just like a piece of artwork. It looks like a wave.
Yeah.
And then it got super cold, and it just hung there and stayed.
Yep. Yeah, it slid off a little bit.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
And then it is. Yeah, except when that thing falls down on your head, because it's not so hard, but it's going to be cold.
Well, then Bob built a fire under it.
Right,
I do. Yeah. I do. I've been doing that a lot. And that's why I say now that prep we've been telling you to do, that's why it's so important, because you don't have to sit inside and, you know, mop the floor, do things your wife's trying to talk you into.
Yeah, I went over last weekend.
Conrad. Your wife's ordering you to do it.
Yeah, when we had Sunday and Monday, I went over to the east side of the state up by Bad Axe and went to a place called the Rooster Ranch with my Shartucky boys.
Is that a ladies' club?
No, it isn't. It's a pheasant hunting club. And we went over and hunted for a couple days, had a great time. But we made the executive decision that on Sunday night, we're going to do a steak dinner. Mr. Sobey put together some incredible ribeyes for me. They were so good. So really good. I mean, the boys are like, wow, where'd you get those steaks? And I got a guy, right? I got a guy. But we went over there, and it was, if you remember last weekend, the wind's blowing 35, 40, 50 miles an hour. You get on the east side of the state up in that thumb, it's flat as a tabletop.
Oh, yeah.
There is nothing to stop the wind.
Yeah.
And but the house that we stayed in, part of the lodge, right? They got 4 or 5 houses they rent.
Sure.
Had a garage that they turned into like a lounge sitting area. Yeah, man cave.
Nice.
But in front of the garage, there was an overhang. And my luck was there. It was destiny, because the wind was on the back of the house, and I got to just crawl underneath that thing, but no wind, no snow, and I grilled steaks for these guys, because they were very skeptical when I told them, I'm going to make dinner. They're like, you're going to stand out in 0-degree weather.
So you had a good wind block and a roof.
That's exactly right.
Perfect.
And I set the tech on a picnic table, fired it up, and bam, we were eating steak.
Magic.
You know, 15 minutes. But had it not been there, I had brought a tent to throw up, because you don't, I'd have probably blown away if I'd have been in it, right? So this worked out great, but it was just luck of the draw. I was going to tough it out for 12 minutes for some steaks.
Well, you also had like the ultimate grill to do it with.
Oh, yeah.
That infrared, that version, that one you've got in particular.
Mm-hmm. That thing is pretty darn windproof.
It's amazing. Now, what I did notice is we did have trouble with those for a while because of the way the back was built. And we had to like sell some little pilot kits and stuff like that. But it's so slooped that the window, if you park it the wrong way, the wind will come in the back, because there's a big gap, and it's sloped hood. It'll come right along the front, and it'll blow right down under the glass. And it'll kill your flame.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
No, this was great. Worked out good. And once again, kudos to our buddy Tim Sobey. Those steaks were amazing. The boys were like, these are the best steaks I've had in a long, long time. I said, I know. I got a guy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yep. So coming up next, Chaz, get ready. We want a little ice report from you, if we could, please. Those of you that are hard water fishermen, listen up, because Chaz is an expert, and you're going to want to hear what he's got to say, because everybody needs to stay safe out there.
And he's got the hat to prove it.
All right. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig...
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Geez, during the break, Chaz and Bob were jousting about their Stormy Cromers on which is their favorite. I guess between the two of them, they probably got two dozen. So you're just you know, Bob is in his feminine side. He's, you know, he's very comfortable with that. His white one is his favorite.
That's a fun story to tell, but I won't bore anybody with it. Chaz, what is the ice like around here right now? Right around west or central Michigan,
junk.
On north. Still too thin?
It's too thin.
Because it got a ton of snow on it all of a sudden,
well,
and it's insulating it.
Where it is, did freeze up, it's bad ice. It's honeycombed because it was slush when it froze.
So the skating's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough skating.
Yeah.
Us big guys are not ready to go out there yet.
I think the snowmobiles will make it, though.
Well,
I'm not risking it with my side-by-side.
Just got to go fast.
Yeah,
it's we're at that, you know, mushy snow to start. Then it got super cold, and that slop froze, and that is not make hard, firm ice.
Okay.
Now, we're headed down to Central Illinois this weekend because they've got like
Isn't
6-7 inches.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. So what does it take to be comfortable for beyond the ice?
I tell most people at least 4 inches of good, clear ice.
Okay.
And when you see clear ice, you know that is just solid.
Yeah.
It doesn't have air pockets in it. You got no water flowing in and no surprises.
How does that happen? I noticed some years it's like glass. Is it just the way it's freezing? If it freezes over a very long period of time, is it clearer?
Yeah, slow freeze.
Okay.
And still.
So pray for
less
slow.
Wind.
Okay.
Oh.
Now once it's locked up,
bring
on the wind.
Yeah.
You know, pull that heat away from it.
Right.
Because, you know, the sun's going to warm it up and things like that. Now, they're talking, and, you know, I don't believe weathermen more than about 4 hours.
Right.
Well, you know, climate change is real, Chaz.
Well, they stick their head out.
I got a theory about that.
Yeah, it's going to snow, and they look out. Yeah, it's snowing. Yeah.
But, well, you know, right now, if you think your ice is good enough, maybe you're listening to us up there, Big Rapids or something like that. Number one, take a buddy. Always go with somebody, because you're going to need help if you go through.
And a rope.
Right.
Take a rope, take a spud. I spud like every other step. Mm-hmm. And I whack that ice really hard because I ain't a small guy.
Right, right.
And my fishing
partner's
bigger.
Well, you're the tester, aren't you? Don't they send you out first?
Well, they send us both out because we're smart enough to have floating suits.
Right, right.
So even if we do go through, we're not going under the ice.
Right.
And you
know, does that have like an air thing that inflates it so you look like...
No, it's just a built-in liner in it that'll keep you up there. And you know, we've tried them in the summer, jumped off the pontoon boat.
So it insulates the coat as
well,
as keeps you floating.
Yeah, and a modern ice suit. You know, a lot of guys brag about the Carhartts. Carhartts are awesome.
They wick.
For feeding the cows.
Right, yeah.
And looking good at the bar. But they wick up water. They don't wick up water. They guzzle water right up. And it becomes an anchor.
And then you're so heavy.
Yeah, right. You're not getting out.
You can't get out.
Right.
And Carhartts probably killed a few guys going through, but leave your barn
closed. This
thing's
taking a dark turn here.
No, but
and
it's
get
true,
these suits,
though,
because the ice suit, modern ice suit, One, it's got a lot more pockets to take all your gear. Two, it's a lot more windproof than even the Carhartt. Three, it floats.
Right, yeah. And with you in it.
And it comes with a pair of bibs.
Right.
So when you sit down on your bucket, your shirt and jeans don't separate.
Right.
Conrad, can we order one for you? No.
Oh, man. I've got several of them. I love them.
Sure.
And it's just really critical. Now, the rope idea is a great one. I like to put a carabiner clip on it because then I clip it off my sled, use it to lower down some of those embankments. You get a nice granny that'll let you come out and park in her driveway. Her front yard's steeper than hell to get down the lake.
Right.
Plus, if it's long enough, you can throw it across the hole where some guy went through. He's flailing around. He's going to get tangled up in it. Don't throw it at him. Throw it over him. And then you can stay back a ways on some safer ice to pull him out.
Right. Yeah. And the real moral of that story is don't go out on thin ice because then you don't need that. But carry it with you. It's always good to be prepared because you never know. Especially guys that go out on moving water.
Remember when we were at Tip Up Town and that truck was sitting there with the front end in the water?
Right, yeah, right. But, so he's got a big brass clips on that and you just whip it out there.
You whip it, we toss it across the hole.
Right.
And it'll come right out of that little bag and get across. And then I can pull on it, two guys can pull on it, get a guy up and out. Now, right. If you get wet, I recommend what we call the dry bucket. You know, you talk to Bob, he gets pool chemicals. Randy gets pool chemicals, and these big buckets have screw top lids.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Yep.
You just wash those out, and you put a pair of sweats in there, a hoodie, some slippers, maybe some big socks and some mittens and stuff, because when you get out, you got to get that wet stuff off.
Right.
And if you're short on space, you can actually get the covers for those that are padded cushions that pivot.
Oh, so
you could use it as a fish bucket.
I got two in the truck for you guys.
As a fishing bucket as well.
But the big idea with it is that you have to be able to slide something on. And I can tell you, naked in front of God and everybody, trying to get out of them wet clothes.
Tough.
And then trying to pull on a pair of jeans.
Tough.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right.
So get baggy sweats and put them in the dry bucket. Keep it in the truck. And I just throw that wet stuff in the truck. Get the truck started. Go home. Your day's done.
Oh, sure.
Because hypothermia will get you.
Yep, absolutely.
There's no going back out after you get wet.
So you have the Michigan Ice Guys. It's a website that tracks kind of all of this stuff.
We got all kinds of stuff in our podcast there as well.
Yeah, so is there, in our listening area, like you said, we're up in Big Rapids, is there, in your opinion, I mean, it's a little bit of educated guess, is there safe ice in Michigan right now? Or because that's where most people are listening to us.
There's a couple spots.
Yeah, but be careful.
Wondering how Reed's Lake is.
Open.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's fringing up, but it's still open. The bigger bodies of water, Houghton Lake, Higgins Lake, Reed's Lake, they're bigger bodies of water. They're going to have wave action and stuff, and that's going to keep busting up the little bit of ice that starts.
Right.
Until you get a couple of cold, still nights to get it down.
Yep.
And they'll do it. Now, they're forecasting a little rain coming up here in about a week or so.
Right.
I'm hoping that'll soak down into that honeycombed ice, and when it refreezes, we get good ice.
Well, there's good ice up in Keweenaw, I'll tell you that. Well, I saw a picture of it.
Keweenaw's, the portage is starting to freeze across. They opened up the bridge so the snowmobilers can go across the lower deck from Houghton to Hancock.
Yeah.
That was a big announcement. I pull it up on the Michigan Tech webcams and check it every day.
Yeah, yeah.
But up there they're getting ice, and Gogebic's finally closing up.
Yeah.
Another big body.
Real late. They had ice. They lost it.
Yeah.
That stuff we had, like that second week of January, when we were back all out in shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we live in Michigan and we expect to be wearing big clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
Well, we did have just a tremendously nice December. I'm okay with that because everybody comes home for Christmas and there's a lot of people traveling for Christmas. And I think it's safer for people. So bring it on now.
I'll take the cold over the snow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. All day, every day. But anyway, well, good, Chaz. Thanks so much. We, it's, I'm,
I'm not an avid ice fisherman like you, but I enjoy it. My wife is even interested in it this year.
Oh, she's been texting me?
I know she has, yeah. And I hope it's all about ice fishing. But anyway, I know that we're planning on, when it gets safe and you give us the green light, joining you on the ice and having a little bit of fun. And I hope we can get her to catch a fish. But coming up next, speaking of temperatures that are cold, time and temperature is a big thing for you if you're grilling. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday. Now hit me!
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in. If you just tuned in, you missed the ice fishing report from Chaz.
Catch it on the podcast.
That's right. We got one of those, and we'll send it to you for nothing. Right, Bob?
That's right. And you can get the MI Ice Guys podcast as well.
Yeah. Two for one today.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, I just as an aside, I got a big kick out of watching the Iowa caucuses, and I'll just leave it at that. But
yep,
it was delicious. Let's talk about time versus temperature. And this is, you know, almost like Einstein-type stuff because it's that fundamental.
Yep.
I mean, it's one of those a basic arithmetic, algebraic, I don't know what you would call it.
Put this in Grilling Guys language.
Yeah.
If it's cold, it's going to take longer.
Well, but that's part of it. That's part of it.
Right.
But the other thing is,
I don't think you can overcompensate with heat.
Right. Yeah, that's the wrong idea.
Burn it.
That's the wrong idea.
Yep. So the point is, it's a variable. When people say, well, so how long should I smoke it? Well, you can't really answer that very easily. So what I tell people is, number one, knowing your equipment will help you determine what temperature you're comfortable with, because most, at least traditional smokers, now if you're using one of these pellet grills, you can just set the temperature and forget about it. But if you're doing like real barbecue, no, I don't mean to be a snob, but if you're doing wood or charcoal, your product will have a place where it wants to settle in and just run. You know, a snowmobile will do the same thing. A motorcycle will do the same thing. There's just a spot where it just feels good. I had a convertible that did the same thing. It just wanted to go 90.
Yep. So the difference in the equipment with the temperature is there are multiple temperatures inside the cooking chamber. The closer you get to the heat source, the hotter it is, the farther away. And then the other big thing that impacts that is the ambient temperature outside. Huge difference from 5 degrees to 35 degrees on how your equipment performs.
And wind.
Yeah, 1 mile an hour wind versus 15 miles.
The wind will take it off really quick.
Yeah. So we have this big iron smoker called a Good One. Great design. It's a workhorse. 10 months a year, you can't beat that thing for cooking. 2 months a year, you might as well not even uncover the damn thing.
Yeah, and this is the old version that you don't really want the new one anymore because they sold the company and they made everything cheap.
Yeah.
It's just not what it was. If you can find an old used one,
yeah,
then you've got iron.
You know, eighth inch to quarter inch thick iron that this thing's made out of, built like a tank. But the point is it holds so much cold when the ambient temperature, you can't get it warm enough to really do a good cook because it will not heat up. I don't care.
If you want something like that, that will do it. There are some American Barbecue Systems, that ABS I had, that actually had a much better design, much heavier metal, and they figured out all the things to fix that other brand you were talking about, and they implemented them in theirs. But the long and the short of it is, knowing where your equipment wants to run is my point. It's like if you're doing traditional barbecue, you'll have a spot where you'll notice it just wants to settle in. So get used to grilling or smoking on that temperature.
Right.
And then when you do that, now you can determine the reaction of the proteins you're going to put on there, and that'll help you figure out the time.
Yep.
So it's that simple and yet that complex.
And I think a really good digital thermometer with probes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Because you need it in the protein. You need a temperature measure in the protein, but you also need a temperature measure in the cooking chamber. Because one plus one is two in that, and you can really kind of track your time if you're doing
temperature.
Well,
you're not opening the door to check it.
That's just it. That was where I was going.
Yeah.
Is no
peak. And if not, if nothing else, get a few of these little analogs. And you can even get the magnetic ones because a lot of brands actually just use that. And if you have a smoke chamber, let's say it's a foot and a half tall, put one at the top and one in the middle.
Yep.
So you know what your swing is.
Yeah, because temperature is a big thing when it's this cold out and you're trying to use your smoker. By no means are we saying don't do it. We're just saying when you use it, just be prepared that it's going to take a little bit longer than it does in July.
Yeah, it's the actual opposite. We're saying do it.
Right.
There are things you can do now that you can't do in the summer. Now you can smoke cheese.
Right.
And some people, I don't like smoked cheese, but I love like about everything else smoked. But
right.
Let's say you want to smoke some fish. Great time to smoke fish. You can go low and slow so easy.
Yep.
Most traditional smokers, if you're doing charcoal or wood, it's going to want to bring you into an idle spot, and depending on the level of fuel you're putting in and everything, it'll park itself there if you're good enough and if you just learn your equipment.
Yep. And but you can't learn it without trying it, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, one of those things in with the time as well is some prep time. Get that smoker up to your temp. Don't be rushing to get your protein out there.
Right.
Get it up to the comfortable temp, read your thermometers, be smart about it, and then put your protein out there. Don't ruin a piece of meat.
On the back of that is bring your protein, your meat, your ribs, your pork, your chicken, your steak.
Your butt.
Whatever you want, up to room temperature. Don't take it out of the ice box, the refrigerator, whatever, and put it on the smoker and expect it to perform. Bring it out. Make sure it's thoroughly thawed. And you aren't going to get bacteria because you're going to cook it over 140 degrees. It'll all die anyway, right?
Well, the chicken and the pork, you got to be a little careful with.
Throw your rub on it.
Yeah.
Enough salt to help.
Throw your rub and just know it's going to be, first of all, the size of your cook is going to determine what effect that has on your baking oven.
Yep.
Okay. So if you're just doing a couple protein, a couple muscles, and you got a big chamber, it has no impact on the temperature of that oven.
Right.
But if you have a big oven, or whatever your size is irrelevant, if you fill that oven portion.
Oven or smoker? You're talking smoker.
Well, we call it the oven, but okay. It's where the smoke chamber.
Yep.
If you fill that with product, it's going to have a real big impact on the temperature of that chamber.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It'll drop you big. So that's why what I like to do is I like to spike that thing and get her going way hotter than I want it and then throw my meat in there. And boy, that sounds weird, but
it'll bring it down. Right? Yeah, yeah. We're all of that and more. You know, that's the thing about smoking. There's all different kinds of.
So the moral of the story is warm your meat up.
That's right. Yeah, that's always been the case ever since we've started this, is make sure your meat's warm before you begin to play with it.
Oh, God.
Moving along.
There's children listening, Jobby.
Right. But the
for all your parents out there, Randy's cell phone number is 616-436.
Yeah, exactly. But so do you have anything you prefer to smoke in the winter that you don't maybe do in the summer? Or
No,
just all the same?
It's what my friends and guests and customers want. It's not what I want normally. I'll have to come up with the idea if it's just me and the bride. She's pretty easy on that. She's just like happy that I'm cooking.
Yeah.
You know, and then she wants me to cook a lot of it because what she loves to do is make leftovers because then she doesn't have to cook.
Sure.
She already did her cooking, you know. She's done with it.
Well, yeah, five kids, and yeah, it was a big household.
But like, I sent her off the other day for work, and when I do a big cook or I don't know. This is something really I should mention also is that I've never liked rump roasts. You know, they're kind of boring.
Well, they're not the best cut of beef, that's
so,
for sure.
So I did one the other day because I had one from my cow, and I just ordered another cow coming in May. Sobey gave me or sold me a really wonderful beef rub that he uses on his brisket.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a boring piece of meat, this rub will take care of it. Let's catch it in the back end, but I want to cover that because that's really significant.
Yeah, and it makes for a great end product. So once again, Tim Sobey, you're never going to go wrong if you buy stuff out of his store.
Yep.
Coming up next, we're going to have some smoking treats for the weekend. Your list of grilling guys, stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys and the Chillin' Guys this week because we're talking about everything cold. We had Chaz on to give us a little ice fishing report, and we've been talking a little bit about how to use your equipment in cold weather. And we're going to wrap it up with some weekend treats.
But I really think it's important to finish that little tip that I was discovering. I did a rump roast, and as
beef.
I said, yes, I really never. My mom used to call them pot roasts. My wife still calls them pot roasts. Well, there's really, I don't know if there is such a thing as a pot roast. Ask your butcher; he'll look cross-eyed. But the rump roast, of course, your butcher will tell you that the back end of the cow is not as flavorful. We like that front end because it has that chuck thing going to it because it's an animal that pulls itself right. It's stronger front end. The back end's just boring. That's why a round steak is always kind of like, not so much. That's why my mom used to Swiss them. But this rump roast, Sobey has a rub that he uses, and I don't know if he sells this or not. You might be able to have to go to Kent Butcher Supply or somebody like that.
No, he does. It's called Sobey's Beef Rub. I have some at home. I honestly do.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh.
It
tastes like bouillon to me.
It's got it in it,
question. Yeah, so what I did was I'm thinking, this is a big old knuckle, right? And some people used to smoke them, and they'd call them a knuckle. And then they'd shave it for chipped beef.
Okay?
So this spice of his, it actually made that rump roast good. And it was simply because I smoked it real long and low temp, long time. And I put that rub all over, heavy, obnoxiously heavy.
Right.
And I put oil in the mix when I put it on.
So it stuck.
Oh, and I bought some super thick bacon, and I laid the whole top of it with bacon.
Well,
the duct tape of food.
Right. It's starting to sound better now.
It turned out great. I mean, so then as soon as it was done, I had a ton of au jus. I took that au jus and made gravy out of it.
Did you catch it? I mean, it was off the roast. I mean, you had to roast in a pan?
Yes.
Okay.
And I baked it. I said smoked it. I baked it. I did not smoke it. Well.
It worked better.
It did.
Yeah. All right.
It did. I was being a wimp.
It was -3 the other day.
Yeah, right. Wind was blowing from the wrong direction.
No, it just, you know, sometimes you're going to do that.
Sure.
So I sliced it into like 1-inch chops, And then I took all that au jus and I made a gravy out of it. And I laid those steaks or chops in that gravy and I parked it for about 5 hours. That what turned a rump roast into like a beautiful thing. I thought it'd be impossible. It actually worked. So that's a long story. But
did you eat it cold or did
you reheated it? No, I kept it warm. I parked it at $1.75.
Okay.
And just let her coast. And, you know, there's all sorts
of
devices.
Use that dial.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I have a really beautiful oven that I got at Garrett's, and it does a wonderful job. So I was thinking of smoking treats for weekend gigs. We got football every weekend. How about those Lions?
Yeah, we got them tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Got them tomorrow against Tampa Bay at home.
We're going to kill them, I hope so.
I was, you know, this is just a sign of the times. Had just a smidgen of an inkling of maybe wanting to go to the game until I got online and started looking at ticket prices.
1,200.
Yeah, right. Gee, nosebleeders were six.
My friend sold his seats for 12 each.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Then you start realizing that 85-inch TV at home on the front of that nice couch.
Yeah. Oh, and the bathroom's so much closer.
Right. And there's three, no waiting, and only two of you in the house.
Right. And the beer's way cheaper.
Right. Beer's cheaper. You can hit the pause button if you have.
Food's better.
Yeah.
Instant replay.
Yeah, okay, I don't need to be there.
Right.
No. I got my grill right out back.
Yeah,
exactly. What are we going to put on it, Bob?
Yeah. I think some jalapeno treats are good.
Yeah?
But
oh, Jobby's jalapeno treats.
My wife reinvented something we used to have all the time, and it's that this is the cream cheese with the chili and the cheese on top. And you ever have that? You heat it up, you bake it. You can throw that in the smoker, in the oven, whatever you want. But you just take a glass pan.
Yeah, cowboy queso.
You spread cream cheese on the bottom, and if you make a good chili, you can throw your chili on there. If not, you can use a Hormel or something,
right.
Mary Jane, Marianne, whatever that on the can is, and then cover it with whatever cheese. Now, here's something I would highly recommend. If you're using a lot of shredded cheese, if you just shred a block of cheese yourself, you're going to get a way better product. If you're buying bagged cheese, there is starch on the outside of it.
So it doesn't stick.
From sticking. I'm telling you, it messes up the cheese, especially on a pizza. I want to see a nice layer of grease on the top of my pizza when I pull it out.
Right.
Use that stuff. There's no grease.
Right. Yeah. And that's probably, you know, somebody engineered that so that people thought they were eating better cheese because there's no grease.
Well,
and it's actually
they don't care. They just don't want it to clump. That's right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that little bag that comes in and says, do not eat.
Right. Yeah.
Do not snort either.
Right. Yeah.
Hunter.
Right. But
jalapeno treats are great.
I love them. I mean, everybody's got a recipe.
There's so
for
many
those.
Ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, the smoked fish.
Right.
I mean, we just got off the rivers with a steelhead. Maybe you got a steelhead fillet in there. Get yourself, there's brines on the website. Get it brined up. Put it out there. That fish, like you were mentioning earlier, does not take the temperatures, does not take all that heat, just some time. And I'll tell you, smoked fish, crackers, a little bit of cream cheese.
If you go to Sobeys, he's got a nice connection with a seafood purveyor, right? I think it's Superior. Anyway, you can buy these tuna steaks that are absolutely gorgeous and do them any way you
they're
like
frozen,
it.
Frozen, yep.
Yeah, yeah, they're frozen. They're flash frozen, really super cold. You want to blow some people away? Grab a handful of those things. You thaw them, and then you coat them. And I like the Japanese style with the sesame seed. But do it however you want. And you can throw it on the grill quickly, or you can put it on a griddle. You can just throw it on a cast iron, you know, in a sesame seed oil or something like that.
That's another protein. It's very important. Get it up to room temperature before you go searing.
Right.
Because otherwise you're going to get it frozen center.
Well, you want
it's not on
you
the heat
want
that long.
Thawed
yeah.
is
right.
what you meant to
yeah,
say.
Right.
I'm reading your mind.
Up to room
but
10.
I know what you meant. Yeah. Yeah. And as long as it's thawed. Now, see, I would probably not necessarily agree with that because I want my tuna to be raw in the middle. I just want it lightly grilled on the outside so it fools people. But I really am eating sashimi.
Yeah. Yep. It's good. And you can get
the
that.
Nicer restaurants serve it that way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Yep.
And it looks, the presentation's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You probably like it, don't you, Chaz?
Oh, I have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my point is, you can get that from your local meat place, wherever you like to buy your meat, the best place, even if it's a big chain or whatever. The frozen department has a huge variety of that stuff. And it's not that bad of a price. I got two steaks for like $16.
Yeah.
And they're,
you know, about big around as a baseball, maybe, you know,
yeah,
but they're
flat.
Yeah,
it's a hockey puck. It's just a hockey puck.
Right.
But you know what? It's such a delicacy that if you do it right and then you cut it real thin and you get some wasabi and a little teriyaki sauce or whatever. Oh, man.
We were talking about that smoked fish, Chaz, making a dip out of that with cream cheese, a little garlic, lemon, dill. Maybe even a little Worcestershire sauce in there.
What kind of fish was it you had in the freezer?
I use steelhead.
Right. I like steelhead too.
Yep.
But you can use the salmon.
You can.
Crappie.
But if you have
crappie and walleye work.
Yep.
Really?
Oh my God.
Real mild.
Do you boil it then instead?
No.
Smoke it.
Smoke it. Yep. But I mean, it's, you know, they're thinner fillets. It's going to be done quicker, but you can tell it starts to flake.
It's easier to debone then, too. You don't have to worry about...
Well, mine's all boneless, when I put it in there. Yeah,
the guy that catches it takes the bones out.
Right, yeah.
some do, some don't.
I'm pretty good with that little thin knife.
Yeah,
fillet.
Fillet.
Yeah.
Well, my point is, some people maybe have an issue with the bones, and if you do smoke it, that's an easy time to...
Pick them out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the steelhead and the salmon, you know, pulling those pin bones.
I'll take steelhead any day.
Any day, baby.
That is a phenomenal piece to smoke. That's a gift from God.
Yes, it is. Always is. And it's a lot of fun to go get them.
You can still get them. The river ain't froze.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And unless the guides are off fishing an ice tournament, they'll take you.
And I think your fishing license is good till March.
Yes, it is. End of March.
End of March.
Yeah. Yep,
so that's kind of cool. Chaz, thanks so much for coming down here and... getting away from your computer screen. We know you do a lot of IT work for people, and for us, you certainly do. Wonderful job. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah, go check us out on thegrillingguys.com, and Bob's on all the social medias as the grilling guy, so that works out good. But we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, get out there. Be safe. Stay off the ice until you know it's thick enough to hold you. And right now, we don't believe it is in many places. So we appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.